You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Bless us to grow spiritually. I thank God for you. To all the ministers and to the deacons, to all the saints of God that are present, to all our guests and visitors, we greet you in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We are thanking and praising God for another privilege and another opportunity. Yes, Lord, watch out, Reverend Register. I love having the responsibility, though I'm not worthy, I love having the responsibility of delivering God's message. Yes. It's a humbling experience. But there's a word from the Lord. I invite your attention to the Old Testament, the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 53. I'll be reading from the King James Version, 6 verses. It reads, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant," yes, Lord, "and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Yes, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And when we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has bore our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God," get this, "and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone," yes, "to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." Let me reiterate this 5th verse for you from where we lift our theme. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." Our theme, the wounded healer. The wounded healer. Just give you a little background concerning this particular book. The author of this book is the prophet Isaiah. And the theme Isaiah denotes the Lord saves, or the Lord is Savior. Yes, 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 yes. This book contains more prophecy concerning the Messiah than any of the Old Testaments. The plan of salvation is so comprehensively, yeah, get this, so comprehensively revealed in Isaiah's prophecy that it is called the fifth gospel and is also referred to as the miniature Bible. That's because of its 66 books and the 66 chapters that are in Isaiah. Isaiah's prophecy covers a period of about 40 years during the reign of four Judean kings. It is found in Isaiah 1 and 1, King Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Now, during Uzziah and Jotham's reign, there was peace and prosperity in the land. But during King Ahaz's reign, the people were spiritually destitute. Yes. Yes. And what about this is, I can't help but to think about America today. We're living in a time where everyone is seeking prosperity. But the spiritual flavor, the spiritual attitude, the spiritual character of the people is destitute. Yes, 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 yes. Listen, listen, listen. What we see here was Israel now have disobeyed God. They have found themselves losing focus on what really matters. The pastor just stressed to us a few minutes ago, if he was president, we go back to the Bible. It's a dangerous thing now to leave the word of God. Yes, yes. You see here, therefore, we have to understand how important it is to obey the Lord. Now, Israel in their spiritual destitute was seeking help. But while they were seeking help, they didn't seek help from the Lord. Sometimes when we find ourselves in a state or turmoil of chaos, or we are dealing with trying times in our lives, it baffles me that we'll go to everybody for advice and help before we consult the Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen here. Now, Isaiah's prophecy was to help and encourage the people of Israel. Now, Israel in their spiritual attitude would not consult the man of God. Instead, they went to the Syrian king for help. And they found themselves in a greater state of chaos. Isaiah was given the tedious task of urging King Ahaz to trust the Lord for a favorable outcome. But Ahaz chose not to listen to Isaiah, but he called on the Assyrian king. Now, the purpose of this book was to call the nation of Judah back to God. and to tell them of God's salvation through the Messiah. Many of the prophecies in Isaiah contains predictions that foretell of a soon to occur event and the inauguration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah. These great passages of Scripture gives us a tremendously complete picture of what the death of Jesus Christ accomplished on behalf of Israel and the entire world. Jesus' death satisfied God's righteous demand for judgment against sin. Therefore, Christ, yes, opened the way for everyone, and I did say everyone, to come to God in faith for salvation from sin. Listen, if you will, I want to read from the gospel according to John, the 11th chapter, verses 49 through 52 from the New Living Translations. It reads, Caiaphas, who was a high priest at the time, said, "You don't know what you're talking about." He was addressing, the Pharisees and the council and the Jewish people to have them to understand they wanted to kill Jesus. They wanted to discredit Jesus and disrespect Jesus and all his miraculous work. And he had them understand, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't realize," that's what it reads, "that it's better for you that one man should die for the people than for the whole nation to be destroyed." He did not say this of his own accord. As a high priest at that time, he was led to prophesy that Jesus would die for the entire nation. And not only for that nation, but to bring together and unite all the children of God scattered around the world. 1 John 2 and 2 says, "And he is the propitiation." Yes, he is the atoning Savior for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In our text, God pulls aside the curtains of time and allows the people of Isaiah's day to look ahead and see the suffering future of the Messiah and the resulting forgiveness made available to all people to be whole, to be children of God through Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus' afflictions, his wounds, his injuries, his body's physical and emotional hurt, blows struck, wounds inflicted on our behalf. Isaiah prophesied the suffering servant. Yes, Jesus Christ's body would be disfigured. But through his suffering, he would cleanse the nation of Israel and the entire world. Hebrews 10 and 14, "For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy." We have been made perfect and are being made holy through Jesus' death and resurrection. Christ once for all made believers perfect in God's sight. And at the same time, get this now, he is making us holy in our daily pilgrimage, in our daily walk on this earth. He is healing our wounded spirit. Careful, Reverend, to keep your focus. Listen. Listen, I just want to stress to you this morning or this afternoon. Hebrews 9 says, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. In the text, we lift three key points concerning the wounded healer. He was rejected, disrespected, and afflicted. Now, rejection comes in an endless variety of forms, such as a child who turns their back on their loved ones. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the parents have spent a lifetime laboring and sacrificing on behalf of the children, only for the children to end up disrespecting the parents. Oh, we have a good example when we refer to the scripture where the prodigal son, he wasn't thinking about the sacrifice the father had made to earn the living that he's going to inherit. But he didn't want to wait for the father to pass on. He said, give me mine now. I want to go now. Just a total disrespect for the parents. Yeah. That's just disrespect for the parents. Listen to what it says here in the scripture in Isaiah. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Yeah. There's not a whole lot of respect for Jesus. There's not a whole lot of respect for the messenger and the message of God. People are so busy worrying about their own selves. Yes. Disrespect. We also have the blindsidedness of betrayal. The pastor has a sign in the office. They smile in your face, but all the while they're trying to take your place. Watch out for, somebody's on my pay. Backstabbers, stabbing you in your back. What you talking about? Listen, if you will. When your loved ones, you have invested 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years in the marriage, only for your loved one to come up one day and to say, I don't love you no more. Boy, I don't know, Sister Register. They be reading about me in the newspaper. Watch out, Reverend Register. Yeah. There is no doubt that rejection causes an intense kind of suffering. It inflicts lingering wounds and pains and hurts, deep hurts. Yes.
So we see then that it's paramount for us to pay close attention. You see, Jesus is disrespected by Israel then and the people today. They have a lack of respect and disregard and contempt for the Savior of the world. No one is willing to believe the message or the messenger that God would save the world through a humble, suffering servant rather than a glorious king. Now, contrary to the pride of worldly thinking, Jesus' strength is shown through his humility, his suffering, and his mercy. In Philippians 2, it helps us to understand in that 6-7 verse, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of men. Because Jesus came into the world as an ordinary man, his extraordinary works and miraculous powers was disrespected and rejected. Humanity failed to relate to the beauty of our Savior and his dual nature as the incarnate Christ. Being fully God, he chose to be brought low into the humanness of suffering for our benefit. But listen, you can't respect whom you reject. Jesus is rejected. Israel and the world dismiss Jesus as being inadequate because of his physical appearance. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He is not the majestic and do not meet the world's standard that they have, looking for a king or a man of powerful influence. But look at the humble servant, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. Yes, I'm talking about the wounded healer. Jesus faced rejection from family members all around him. And so, as I make this appeal to you this morning, we see then Jesus being rejected, but he never lost focus on his mission. And it truly is a comfort knowing that Jesus understands our pain in this life and that he shares the burden. But when we look at his life on earth and all he endured for our sake, we see that it is us who can identify with him. Oh no, that's not really how it works. Jesus is identifying with us. He first experienced everything that we now experience in order to redeem us from our sins by grace. What wonderful comfort it is knowing that the gospel stands as the unfaltering, unchangeable answer to rejection. In fact, rejection was created, yes, from the very outset when two people disobeyed God's command. Then they were rejected by God. And as a result of that, we find ourselves in the shape that we're in today. But I want to make an appeal to you. Listen, stop rejecting Jesus. Don't turn your back on God. We need the Lord in our life. Rejection of Jesus Christ is the worst moral decision and act you can commit. When you reject Jesus, you eliminate all possibilities of a moral and character change in your life. You see, this wonderful new creation under Christ's authority is marvelous. All who accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Yes, He changed my life one day. And I'm so thankful. So I wonder, have you experienced the life-changing power of Jesus Christ? Jesus was afflicted by Israel and the people today. And because of the great pain and suffering, He came into this world. Isaiah 53 and 4, surely He has bore our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God. Israel was God's chosen people, and regardless of all God did for them, they still rejected God's sacrifice. Like Israel, we have heard and know Jesus' identity as the promised Messiah, and still we reject Him. Our sin is just as great as the Israelite. All of humanity's greatest sin is rejecting God's greatest gift, Jesus the Christ. John 3:16 through 18 remind us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen, no one can believe the gospel except those whose heart God, yes, touches with the virtue of the Holy Spirit. We have to understand that. Now consider this. What we see in the world today, we have a lot of religious Christians in the church today and very few real Christians. The religious Christians are in the church, but the real Christians are of the church. You see, the religious Christians, they are expecting God's blessing, but rejecting God's message. They are expecting God's joy, but rejecting the joy of God. They are expecting God's peace, but rejecting the peace of God. They are expecting God's love, But rejecting the love of God, you can't have God's blessing and reject the source of God's blessing. The wounded healer, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. Yes, for our sakes he came into the world, bearing our sins to make us acceptable unto God. Our key scriptures, Isaiah 5, have us to understand that the law requires the consequences. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. I'm so glad that Jesus came into this world to save sinners like me. Don't you see him traveling down through 40 and two generations? Stopped off in Bethlehem of Judea, tabernacled around here for 33 long years. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. But listen, if you will, at our Savior, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, gave sight to the blind. But on Palm Sunday, they celebrated his coming. But wow, on that Thursday, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they took him as a prisoner, beat him and whipped him all night long. For you and I, he never said a mumbling word. He took him out to the mob crowd. They reject Jesus and chose a robber, a thief. They marched him up Golgotha's hill. But our Savior never said a mumbling word. They nailed his hands. They riveted his feet. Glory to the Lamb of God. He hung out there on Calvary for you and I. He stayed there on the cross for you and I. Oh, after a while, he laid his head in the locks of his shoulder, gave up the ghost, died and was buried. But thanks be to God, on the third day morning, he got up from the grave with all power. The wounded healer, he was wounded for my sin. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Lord.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.